This morning, I am just so happy and elated this morning. I want to tell you that God has been good to me. God has been good to me. God has done all things for me. God woke me up this morning with a smile on my face. He woke me up to be happy and wealthy in my mind and well-fed. I just must say that God has done so much for me. This morning, I would be amiss if I did not thank those men who have gone before me. First, we had our deacons, Brother Charles Dickerson, who read us of the announcements, and our also deacon, Brother William Knott, who read us of the scripture reading this morning. And we had our elder, Brother William Harris, take us to God's throne in glory in prayer this morning. We also had our brother Andrew Moore singing, leading us singing songs, and I know I heard Brother Rose in the back, a little underline down there. I know y'all didn't see him because he's in the media room, but I heard him. So we just thank all these men for being prepared and ready to do their job assignments this morning. This morning also, I would like to acknowledge our visitors. I didn't receive any visitors' cards, but if there are any visitors here that are on my left at this time that would like to be acknowledged, we would ask that you would please stand. No visitors on my left. Any visitors on my right at this time that are here with us this morning that would like to be acknowledged at this time, ask that you please stand. Okay, thank you, thank you. Well, if you are visiting with us, I just want to say that you are our honored guests. We are so pleased to have you here. We just would ask that you would come back at your next convenient time with us and just keep praising God with us. Don't quit. Don't quit. This morning, I will reiterate one of the announcements. Make sure all men are here next Saturday for enrichment. A man's enrichment class will be going here next Saturday. Every man that is in here right now should be in here on Saturday. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay. I didn't hear a lot of men say amen. Amen? Amen. Okay. I heard women say amen, but I didn't hear the men. I want a little amen? Amen. Okay. There we go. There we go. First time I said it, I was like, oh, the women saying amen. They want y'all to go. They want you to get enriched. We'll make sure we got it all right. All right, if you will, this morning, turn with me to the book of John, chapter 2. John, chapter 2. In the book of John, chapter 2, starting with verse number 1, the Bible speaks about a wedding. In verse number 1, it states, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Verse 6, now there were 6 stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. So they filled them to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the head waiter. So they took it to him. When the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, every man serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then he serves the poorer wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of his signs, Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. You know, I want to talk to you about things that happen unexpectedly. Things, just very briefly, things that happen unexpectedly. You know, when the power went off a couple of weeks ago, I heard so many stories about people who went to the store and just bought some groceries. And they said they bought these groceries, $200, $300 worth of groceries, and the power went out. And they felt like, wow, some of this is going to have to be thrown out because it didn't keep for 5 days. I would have found a fridge for it or something. But in life, things happen unexpectedly. Sometimes things happen and we just don't realize, we don't recognize, we don't see it coming. You know, recently it was crazy because I had a AC unit go out on me. And it was at the end of the year. I still ain't got it fixed because it's cold outside. But the furnace went out too. I got that fixed. I had to get that fixed. But unexpected things happen in life. Things pop up all the time. Jesus is in the midst where there's a party going out on. And back then, if you understood the Jewish customs, a wedding would go on for 7 days. I would think something would run out in 7 days. Some food, some drink, something's going to run out in 7 days. It ain't going to keep going. If I got to feed you for 7 days, you better be on a list where I can ration you off. How much food have you had already? You can't eat again until tomorrow. You know that, right? I got to feed you for 7 days. This ain't an all-you-can-eat buffet here now. But what happens is they drinking. And they can't wait the 7 days. It just don't last. And Jesus is there, and the wine has ran out. And people looking around, there ain't no drink to drink. What we gonna do? And Mary's there, and she sees and she knows that Jesus is there, and he can do something about it. You know what? It's good being what I call the man. You know, when you that man, you always get put in a situation. You know, you might not know how to do it, and people ask you to do things that you don't even got anything to do with or know about. Hey, my car stopped. Why don't you come look at it? I ain't no mechanic. What you talking about? Come look at your car. Hey, you know, I got this problem with my back. Can you touch it and feel it? No. What do you mean? You better go to the doctor. But see, she understood and recognizes that Jesus was there and he could do something about the situation. Even though his response is, hey, woman, what I got to do with this? Well, what I got to do with them running out of wine? Jesus is the man. And she knew it. You know, sometimes we think highly of our children. And we think our children can do things. And we present our children before, oh, our children, they can handle this. They can handle that. She was the same way. Jesus got this. And even when he said what she just says, you know what? Just do what he says. He gonna handle it. He got it. You know, there's some things that I want to look at today. I just entitled the lesson Water to Wine because I want to look at some things that I want to know, will you allow in your life? Will you do in your life to make you better, to make you better Christian? The first thing I looked at that I want to talk to you about is, will you allow Christ to repurpose your value? Will you allow Christ to repurpose your value? You know, it talks about in these verses, it talks about verse number 6, there were 6 stone water pots set for the Jewish custom of purification and cleaning. You know, whatever they were cleaning, the garments or the pots, the things that they were using. And you know what? Generally, if you cleaned something, you didn't drink out of that. That was for cleaning purposes. You ain't drinking out of the washing machine water. You understand what I'm saying? That there was a select purpose for these stone pots. The purpose wasn't for drinking out of. But Christ here flips the purpose and their value. You know, in life, we have a thought process that we can only do a certain thing. There are some people in church that think that I am a song leader. And that's their position. They don't want to do anything else. Or they don't think they can do anything else. But see, we serve a God that can repurpose what you think about yourself. See, Christ will say, you think you can pray, but I'm going to have you teach. You think all you can do is count money, but I'm going to have you sing songs. See, we serve a God that says, you know what? You don't even know what you can do until I can show you what you can do. You know, we serve a God that can change our thinking. We need to stop thinking that we're of little value, of little use. We need to stop thinking that our sins of the past have created this chasm that God can't reach us. We need to stop thinking that they know what I did, so they won't respect me. They won't look at me and see the value in me. See, if I was to talk about anybody, I would talk about Rahab. See, because Rahab was a prostitute, a woman, and a Gentile, someone who wasn't of God. Someone who is the least of the least. Someone who is, in all thinking, unworthy of anything. She's selling her body. She's second class. And God wasn't her God. You know, it's nothing in your life that you can't do that God can't get to you. Stop allowing your past to keep you from the present of what you have in the future in Christ Jesus. Stop allowing things that you have done or were done to you. Stop allowing those things from your walk with Christ. Stop thinking that God can't make you somebody and do something for you. Because see, he used Rahab to the point where he says, you're not only going to be a child of God, but I'm going to bring Christ through you. See, because Rahab's in the lineage of Christ. See, God said, I'm going to make sure that she's one of your great, 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 great grandmamas. That's what God said. Because she's worthless. Because she was nothing and nobody. So what God said is, I'll show you her value and her worth. I'm going to make her somebody. I'm going to use her to defeat Jericho. I'm going to use her to make sure everything is all right, to protect my spies. You know, there are times that we devalue ourselves. The thing about devaluing yourselves is when you devalue yourselves, you allow anything in your life because you don't think you are worth it. You don't see the value in yourself, so you allow people to walk over you. You allow people to talk about you. You can't be a man or woman of God if you let anything go in your life and to you. You got to stand firm. You got to know you about something. I'm not talking about being conceited. I'm talking about knowing your value. God gives you your value. See, don't allow the thought process of someone else other than God giving you your value. Cause see, man will puff you up and then drop you back down. See, one instance they say, oh, you so pretty today. Then they say, you had a hard night last night, didn't you? Because you look hit up. Tell you in a heartbeat that they'll bring you up and drop you down. You better know your own value in God. If you wanna be worth something, Christ can revalue anything, even those that go against his will. You talk about Paul, Acts chapter 9, Saul at the time thinks about persecuting Christians. God dropped that real quick on him. He said, I'm going to switch you around. What you is doing is going the wrong way. I got you going the right way. You know, sometimes you think you're doing something and God got to stop you in your tracks and tell you you're going the wrong way. You know what? Don't be mad about it. Just go the right way. Just turn around. Sometimes in life, that's what you got to do. You got to stop your brakes and say, wait a minute, I'm going the wrong way. Don't be mad about it. It's funny because I talk about directions in the car, and my wife don't even tell me anymore. You know, if I'm going the wrong way, she just be like, Derek, I already know. I ain't even got to hear it. She said, I knew. She tell me after 5 miles down the road, I knew you was going the wrong way. Well, I said, I was just taking a detour. I got to go 5 miles back the other way, but it was the right way because we getting where we going to get. We might be there 30 minutes late, but it's the right way. Sometimes you just got to go the right way regardless. And let God know he's right. I'm sorry, God. I'm going the wrong way. God can repurpose our value. God can turn things around. I will tell you this. In my life, I have seen the value of things change. I have seen friends and family members, not that they don't mean as much, but God meant more. I have seen things that I would do with friends that was in my life predominantly be flipped around because the value of those things changed. God should be able to change things in your life. When you come out of this water, new creation, some things and some need to change. Now, I want to keep reading because the next thing he tells them in verse number 7 is he says to them, fill the water pots with water. So they filled them to the brim. You know, I want to ask you today, will you allow Christ to fill you up? And when I talk about Christ filling you up, you know what? We fill ourselves with so many different things. Well, you know, we can fill ourselves with some food. We can fill ourselves with some smoke. Some of us. We can fill ourselves up with family, engagements, with friends. We can fill ourselves up with so much nonsense that it is no room for Christ. We done filled our lives up to the point where Jesus can't get no water in. He can't get nothing in. Christ can give us a new passion. You know, it's March Madness and everybody got a bracket. And I'm going to tell you this, so many people got to run to the TV. I know Michigan come on early today, and y'all won't get out of here. But the thing is that Christ can flip your passion around. Christ, you should be passionate about Jesus. I'm going to tell you this, you know how many people took off work Thursday and Friday to sit in a bar and watch the games on TV? Ridiculous amount of people. But we don't run a church like that. Where's our passion at? Where's our excitement level for God? Where's the praise God? Where's our love for him? Where's our Jesus? We know, Jesus, I know you've been good to me. Jesus, I know you've done all for me. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I got to be here for Jesus. God is too good for me to miss. Every time they open the door, I want to be here. That's how good God is to me. But with God, we just lackluster. We kicking the ground and dragging. It's nothing inside of us to say that we need to get up for God. Nothing inside of us that tells us, I'm happy. I'm happy to be a child of God. I'm happy to walk in Christ's footsteps. I'm happy to do all that I can for him, even if it means to suffer. Philippians 1:29 states, for to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Passionate even to suffer for Christ. When you know the only reason you in trouble because the devil has got his arms around you, and you say, you know what, this is my Job experience. I got to go through this because I'm going to stay faithful to God, and no matter what I go through, I'm going to be on his side. You know, sometimes we got to stay the course, because he will fill us with passion if we allow him to. Be passionate. You know, so many times we just dragging our feet for the Lord. You know, it shouldn't be an issue about going to a men's enrichment to teach you how to get better and be godly men. That shouldn't even be a question. You should want to go to that. You should want to lead your family. You should want to be better men. But we drag our feet for everything God-like. But let Michigan win today. And everybody going to be talking about that. Oh, they going to the Sweet 16. Yeah, but are you going to heaven? I'm just saying. That's what you need to be worried about. Yeah, they. Okay. Y'all gonna be in fire one way or another. Fire with passion one way or another. He gives us also a new purpose. A new purpose. He can. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God created beforehand so that we would walk in them. You have a purpose that God can give you something to do. You know what? It's funny. It's funny how man throughout eternity has looked for purpose. They ask the question, why am I here? What am I to do? For Christ's glory, to work for Christ. See, if you're a Christian, you done signed up for laboring in the Lord. Stop thinking when you're in Christ, you ain't got nothing to do. You done signed up for service. You don't sign up for the army and not do what they tell you to do. I've known people who thought that. They thought that they could go to the services and wake up when they wanted to wake up. No, that don't work like that. You don't go to sleep when you want to go to sleep. You don't wake up when you want to wake up. They tell you. Christ got some work for you to do. Get on your job. Stop just doing what you want to do. Stop just acting like you want to act. Stop just being who you want to be. Because even when you get in the service, guess what? They put you in boot camp. What is it for? It's to train you to be a soldier. It's to train you because they want to mold you into their liking. How you put on the name Christ and don't want to be like Christ? Oh. You a Christian, but don't want to be like Christ and don't know who Christ is. All you know is you want to get to heaven. I'm going to tell you, you can't get to heaven if you ain't like Christ. You can be baptized. You could have confessed his name that one time. That one time. It ain't getting you to heaven. You ain't going nowhere. I'm sorry to tell you. You ain't going nowhere. Listen, he will give you his own purpose. He will also give you a new priority. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness." His kingdom and his righteousness. You need to pursue the church and his righteousness. You need to be walking in his footsteps, trying to be like him. First. That's before mama and daddy. That's before your boo. Or wife, husband, whatever. That's before your kids. I know you love your kids. But God say, I come first. I'm number one. On the DVR, it's a priority list or whatnot. You download, like, you know, five TV shows at the same time. Me and my wife always have an argument because we both got shows on the DVR at the same time. I'm like, baby doll, these shows that you watching, they can't be on priority. Like, my stuff is more important, but it's just like, I'm like, you gotta cycle through your stuff and get rid of this junk. But the thing is there's a priority level, and God needs to be first, number one. And the thing is we don't put him number one. He number like four or five. He on a list. You know, he in the top five. He just not one, two, or three. And that's the issue, is that God needs to be. He has to be number one. He has to be number one. You know what? I want to ask you this, and I'm gonna finish this real quick. Will you allow yourself to be a water gatherer? And you know what? I thought about this, is that the servants came in, and they gathered the water. They did what they were told to do. You know, so many times, if we have the opportunity, we want to be the winemaker. We want to make the wine. We don't want to be the water gatherer. Because the water gatherer is the one in obedience. The water gatherer is the one that's going to do and submit to what's being said and done. Our problem is that we want to make the wine. Stop wanting to make the wine. Sit your butt down and do what you're told to do. Let Christ handle it, and you fall in line. So many times we want to take things in our own hands when God has got it. If we just stay in obedience, it'll all fall into place. You know, it's sometimes it's hard to submit to authority when we want to be in control. When you've been in control all your life, when you are the one who do everything for everybody, it's hard to sit down and let God handle his business. You know, 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman, he had a hard problem with sitting himself down too. Little slave girl, and it's funny, little slave girl, she say, You know what? I so wish that he was with the prophet over there, Elijah. She cared about him. You know, we care about people. She cared about him enough to think about him. And when he got the verdict of how to get healed, he said, wait a minute, what? That's dirty water. Dirty water. You tell me to do something better than that. Sometimes you got to obey and your life will be a whole bunch easier. Just do what you're supposed to do. Just submit. You know, God, it ain't hard. It ain't hard. It ain't hard to follow what God wants you to do. We make it hard because we put ourselves in it. We put what we want in God's word. We don't want to be like Christ. We want to be close to Christ. We want to be on his back. We don't want to walk beside him. You know, we have to understand that the water gatherer is the one who was submissive. The water gatherer who did what was told. In life, there will be times when you can't do nothing about a situation. You just have to wait and do what's been told to you. And that's the only way it's going to work out, is to sit and wait. Because you have no control over it. God is going to fix it for you. You know, we've got to, and I'm going to give you this last thing. And the lesson is going to be yours. This last thing and the lesson is going to be yours. The very first thing that I skipped over is that Christ is at the wedding because he was invited. You know, I want to ask you today is, are you willing to invite Christ in your life? You know, there are parts of our lives that we don't allow Christ in. Our work life sometimes, our school life, our social life, our married life. You know, it's funny. I heard some couples fighting okay, it was me. Me and my wife have an argument. I'm going to be like, but the Bible say, and my wife will say, don't bring God in this. I say, God, come with me everywhere, baby. Don't tell me not to bring God in this. But the thing is we need to take God wherever we go. When you wake up in the morning, you need to wake up with God. You know, when you go to sleep at night, you need to go to sleep with God. You better take Christ everywhere throughout your day. You know, when you go on to the club, take Christ with you too. Because he'll make you act right. And maybe you get your butt on out of there. Take him with you. Take Christ wherever you go. That's the only way. Don't hide them. Don't hide them or put them to the side or leave them in the car. Some of you can't even take them in the car. Because when you turn the radio on, you got some nonsense playing. And Jesus got to say, I got to get out this car. I can't be with you in here. Listen to stuff your mama couldn't even be in the car with you with. How Jesus going to be in the car with you? Y'all better take Jesus in the car with you. You get in an accident listening to that nonsense. You'd be like, Jesus, where was you? Well, I couldn't be in the car with you. Everywhere you go, you better take Jesus. You go on a date, you better take Jesus. He might make you keep your hands to yourself. Take them wherever you go. And that's the issue that we have, is that we don't want to take Jesus everywhere we go. We bring him to church on Sunday. Yeah, see me take Jesus. Jesus is with me. But after we leave church, Jesus, I see you next Sunday. That's the problem. But the truth is we want to put on Christ only one day a week. But we call ourselves Christians all the time. The problem is if you don't take Jesus, if you take Jesus with you only one day a week, you a sinner 6 days a week, then you a sinner and not a Christian. If you're not a child, if you're only a child of God only one day a week and another 6 days, then you a child of the devil the majority of the time. That's what you are. You are who you are most of the time. If only 1/7 of you is a Christian, I'm sorry to tell you, you might not be a Christian. You might not be a Christian. Today, church, I want to end by saying if you haven't invited Jesus in, if you haven't allowed him to come in and reside in your heart, if you haven't invited him, I'm sorry to tell you, but you have no hope. And that's a harsh statement. You have no hope, but it's true. If you know what to do and don't do it, you're in error. You're wrong. You're sinning. If you know the only way, if you know the only way to get to heaven is through Christ and you choose not to go that way, if you choose not to put them on, you're hopeless. It's a real situation. It's serious. Why would you not want to be protected by God's grace? Why would you not want to have his mercy surround you? Why? You know, I know people without insurance. I know people without insurance. Know people. But sooner or later, something's going to happen. And you're going to be walking. Or you're going to have to pay full price for that car. You know what? I need Christ's blood to cover me, to protect me. Because I know I'm going to mess up. And I need to be able to get right in Christ because I know he got me. Amen. Some of y'all in here driving dirty. That's what it is. Y'all better get y'all papers together. When the cop pull you over and say, hey, license and registration, and you start looking in the glove compartment, you know what? I think I left it at the house. He's still going to give you a ticket, even if you left it at the house. He said, well, you just take this ticket to the court and show your insurance. It's going to be a bill that's due and needs to be paid. You know, today, church, I have to tell you, if you're not a member of the body, you have an opportunity to get right today. You don't have to wait. Right now. Get your life in order. Hearing of his word, believing that what you've heard, it should allow you to act, to walk, to repent, to understanding that you're in error of your ways, that you're in sin and you want to put Christ on to cover you. Confess him. This is your first confession up here. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes, I do. That's your first confession. You confess Christ all day long, the way that you walk, the way that you talk, when you go in the store buying those lottery tickets, you confess in Christ. I'm sorry. You confess Christ when you at work in front of your coworkers. You confess Christ all the time. Whatever comes out your mouth, you confess in Christ. Then you can be buried in baptism, being brought up a new creation in life. And having done that, you must remain faithful unto death. Today, the invitation has been extended. I want to say right now, for those who are members of the body of Christ, buried, baptized believers, if you're not right, get right. If you live in a fake life, get right. If you know you're not walking according to God's will and his word, this is an opportunity to get yourself right, to turn yourself over to Christ, to walk in his footsteps, to be better, to do better. If you could do better for yourself, why won't you? Today, church, the lesson has been extended. Now is the allotted time as we together stand and sing.